What's happening? Hour number two, J Mart and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. On Twitter at J Mart and Ramon, 11-year NFL veteran involved for life, Ramon Foster, Jonathan Schaefer. I'm Jason Martin. Set to be joined by T.R. Tart of your Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
Ramon, how excited are you for this on a scale of 1 to 10?
1,000.
Yeah, I know. I know.
1,000, man.
Very excited.
Appreciate when guys work their way up, man. Screw the first round. The team undrafted out here, baby.
Well, he's been – a lot of nice things have been said about him.
I know. He's had a great camp so far, man. Well, it's early, but that's what the – great offseason.
As we get a little bit extra in, I think we are ready to roll here. We welcome in defensive tackle T.R. Tart of your Tennessee Titans to J. Martin Ramon here. T.R., how are you this morning?
Yeah, I'm great. I'm excited to be here.
So my broadcast partner, Ramon Foster, who played 11 years in the NFL for Pittsburgh, has been singing your praises since early last season. He was just been a fan of yours, watching some of – just watching snaps here and there, just seeing you flash. And now you're hearing a lot – your name's starting to pop up a lot more from coaches, from people that are watching. How do you feel about your progression so far as you guys are set to enter this big year for the Titans in your second year here?
How do I feel about my progression? I mean, I feel like I can't get comfortable. You know, I feel like I always have to keep working and try to better myself. So I'm just trying to look at little things and just keep myself on it. And I just keep getting better.
Tia, as Jason, my co-host, just said here, I've been a fan simply because – I understand, like, sometimes guys just go undrafted for no other reason than other than just they just don't know how to evaluate talent. And the one thing that I've kind of saw about you on watching film is the need to want to be there. Some guys get in a position, they just are happy to be there. But you, I feel like watching you some last year when you got in the game and just hearing about you and your everything that's been said, it's been like, okay, well, this is a guy that needs to be here. Like, what's your mentality when you go out there? I know you're coming from a smaller school to the pros. Like, what's your mindset as far as going out and battling every day?
Oh, man, it's a dog mindset, man. I mean, I go out there. I aim to compete every day. You know what I'm saying? I want to push myself and my teammates to just a higher standard, you know. I just want to make everybody else around me better. So my mindset is just go out there and work and just get better every single day.
This offseason, too, we've heard about how you reshaped yourself, too, in a lot of different ways, mentally and physically. The conversation was you went to the coach and the strength coach and asked them, what do you need to do? What actually put that on your mind to get to them and say, what do I need to do to be a better pro? And honestly, what was that process like this summer, too?
Well, one of the first things when I asked them that was, my mindset is, well, when I asked them that, I wanted to know what could I do to help the team, you know? How can I help the team? How can I get myself on the field more? How can I become a pro, you know? So I think the biggest thing was transitioning from college to the NFL was just learning how to be a professional athlete, you know? So I went to the coaches. I talked to them about it, and they just gave me like a blueprint of how I could be a professional athlete. I mean, one of the things was just working out with Frank, studying film, creating a routine.
Yeah. T.R. Tart of the Tennessee Titans with us. T.R., what did you learn from your time last year? Now, I mean, now you got a little bit under your belt. You understand the NFL game a little bit. What can you take from what you learned last year into this season in terms of your confidence level and just some things that maybe you didn't know that you were going to run into in the NFL game that now you feel a little bit more prepared for?
Some things I could take from last year. Well, I feel like the game definitely has got a lot more slower, you know, for me out there. You know, going in as a rookie, just getting put into the game, you know, everything's happening super fast. So the game's definitely slowing down. And the coaches having confidence in my ability, you know, that means the world to me. And, you know, it definitely makes me feel more confident in my game, and it makes me go out there and play more relaxed.
one thing that's for sure, the transition from college to the NFL is definitely a step. And you came from FIU, and I know you play some good talent, but being able to see some of the best in the world, meaning the NFL, seeing a guy like Nate going against Roger and Ben Jones, those guys up in the middle, what was the biggest transition for yourself as far as adjusting to what an NFL offensive lineman does compared to a college one?
Just technique. You know, when you come here, everybody's extremely technical, you know, great hands, great footwork. And, you know, this is something that takes time, you know. It just takes time, the master the technique, how to play specific blocks, you know, what type of stance you need to be in to play this type of block, you know. So, and the physicality level, you know, that's a nice size. That's a nice jump, too, and the athleticism of the offensive lineman. So, you know, it just takes time, and you're patient, and you're willing to learn from the coaching staff. You know, they can get you there.
T.R., who are the guys that you or that sought you out last year, or that you sought out that, you know, kind of helped mentor you in, guys that have talked to you, that have helped you, that have helped the game slow down for you, guys that you can lean on, guys that you've been able to depend on in that locker room?
Well, in the locker room now, one of the guys that definitely helped me out was Jeff. You know, he definitely helped me a lot out with learning how to really stick to your playbook, you know, and holding people accountable. Coach T has definitely, I mean, obviously, that's obvious because he's in my D-line room, but, like, he's definitely been one of the main guys pushing me to improve every single day. You know, he doesn't want me to get comfortable as much as I don't want to get comfortable. Like, the guy I sought out was Daquan Jones. Mm. You know, I mean, I really took a lot. It took a lot, you know, when I was just sitting there patient, trying my best to learn from him. I had any question, and I was asking him a bunch of questions, and he would just break it down to me and go over it with me repeatedly. So, I mean, I feel like the information Daquan gave me and Coach T and Jeff gave me was invaluable.
So you mentioned Jeff. I'm thinking, I'm looking at that D-line, and I'm looking at you, and I'm looking at Danico Autry, and I'm looking at Big Jeff. I see a nasty group, Tier, and I say that in the nicest way possible. Are you guys some dogs? Like, you guys look like you're ready to go. Like, nobody wants to mess with you guys.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We some dogs. for sure.
As a whole, though, like, the reason, like, I became a fan is I understand, like, the feeling of going undrafted, man. And I know, like, at the end of the day, like, you just want them to see your talent. You want them to see, like, look, this guy was just looked at simply because of no reason at all. Like, when you went through that process of not getting that phone call but then getting that opportunity, what has been your mindset about that day last year and just going through the whole COVID year? And it was just weird for you. What was it that – your mindset on being undrafted, though?
So draft day, I mean, I was extremely hurt that I didn't get picked up, but, you know, it just gave me a little bit more of an edge. You know, I was more determined to make the roster. I was more determined to go harder. You know, I knew I had a ability, and I knew I had a gift, and I was just hoping that, like, they would see it. So, you know, it was by any means just.
Yeah. The one thing I'll tell you is this. Every person that went before me, I made a list. And I tried my best to knock off everybody on that list. And I think there was only one guy left as far as a drafted guy or undrafted, man. So that would be my advice for you. Like you said, never get comfortable. Take every day as a freaking challenge. And just dominate every chance you get. And the last most important thing is save your bread. As an undrafted guy, it's going to always be hard because they can always try to find a knock on that opportunity to either pay you less or just find a way to be like, well, you don't belong. Prove every day that you belong, man, and just grind it out. And at the end of the day, the cream eventually rises to the top, man. I appreciate watching you do it the right way, considering some guys have opportunities and they flush them down the toilet.
Appreciate it.
Tier, what do you think about your team overall right now? It's still early, and everybody's got their fingers crossed that everybody in this league stays healthy. But you guys go grab Julio. You pay Bud Dupree. You bring in Danico Autry, Jack Rabbit. You guys look the part to me. How do you feel as a team? Are you walking around with confidence that this could be a special year?
I mean, I feel like the team communication is great. I mean, I feel like everybody's putting in, is working extremely hard, you know, to get better and to help contribute to the team. But for how the season's going to find out, that's to be determined. But, I mean, we're going to go out there, we're going to play hard, and we're going to win some games for sure.
Yeah. One other thought, just it's an easy one to do here real quick before we let you go, but who is it that you watched, like, growing up? Who is it that you watched when you were in college? Like, who do you try to pattern your game after, or do you take from a bunch of different people?
I always looked at a bunch of different people's games, but, I mean, the obvious one for D-line when I was in high school was Aaron Donald. I mean, I watched him at Pitt, so I always try to pattern my game after him, but, you know, I always liked Sue game, you know. So those are a couple guys I really watched a lot. And Fletcher Cox.
Mm-hmm. Well, you pick some good names, T.R.
Yeah, some legends right there.
Yeah, that's solid work. We appreciate the time. We're looking forward to watching you this year. Maybe we'll catch up with you again as the season rolls along. But all the best through camp into preseason. And then when we start playing, a lot of fans are expecting and hoping for some really good things here in Nashville this year.
Man, I appreciate your time.
And indeed. That's T.R. Tart. There you go, Moan.
Hey.
Get your heart rate back down to normal.
I'm serious. I told you for a while, the kid going to be nice, man.
That's T.R. Tart. At speedboy_TE75 is where you can find him on Twitter. We have James Lofton coming up in the third hour of the show. He's actually on the call tonight for Westwood One on the Hall of Fame game, so we'll talk to him about fake football.
I'm still watching. I don't care. It's on TV and it's NFL. I got to see it. And I know somebody going to the Hall of Fame.
It ain't fake if you're getting hit.
That's true, too.
You know more than a few going to the Hall of Fame, actually. Bro.
It's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, no, I get it. I understand. But it is still fake football.
Considering last year, what do you think the rating is going to be like, though, even still?
I don't know, man. A Hall of Fame game is an awful football game that none of those guys want to play in.
That's true. But I'm watching. That's for sure.
I usually end up watching a half at most.
My prediction?
Pain.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. Literally what I was about to say. 615-737-1045. 737-1045. I would say more people will watch that game than watch the Olympics. But that wouldn't take much.
I mean,
sure, the Food Network's outdrawing the Olympics.
If Carl Lewis is commenting on it again, it might be better.
We'll come back. We'll recap a little bit of what we were talking there with Tier and jump back into the headlines in the NFL. You can take it wherever you want, obviously, on Twitter at @JMartinRamon. And, of course, 615-737-1045. Plus, we'll continue to try to critique Ramon's first pitch. But, again, at the risk of just leaving content out there, it was fine. It was fine. Was it as good as mine? No. But no one anticipated it being. It was fine. Fine. We'll be right back. It's J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back, Jay Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Our thanks to T.R. Tart and for the Titans for making it happen. We're on Twitter at Jay Martin Ramon. And we got gifts. Caller number 5, 615-737-1045. Caller 5 wins a pair of tickets to see Reds Braves Thursday, August 12th at Truist Park down in Atlanta. First pitch is 4:10 Eastern. So just make sure you can make it to the game, or save those tickets. Let somebody else win that can make it. Reds, Braves, caller number 5, 615-737-1045. Jonathan Schaefer will be the voice that you hear. And even though that's not great, the tickets could be. So 615-737-1045. Yep, just wanted to give you an opportunity to get that one in. Let's go to Cousin Andrew in Portland. What's going on, Andrew?
What's up, Andrew?
What's going on, fellas? Hey, good morning, Ramon and Schaefer. Hey, listen, Dr. Seuss, I don't know why you decided to choose going fishing last night with the hippies, but I hope you caught you a good redfish or a good bluefish. Yeah. look, I wanted to correct you, and I never thought I'd have to correct the king of the fancy when it comes to coffee. But I don't know if you guys remember or not, but I worked at Starbucks in high school down in Hendersonville. And you're a little bit off there, J-Mart. Look, so the tall cup of coffee, when you get a latte, has one shot. The grandes and the ventis have two.
Yeah.
Now, you are correct when you pay for the bigger one, you get more, but it's actually more ice. They actually have a bigger scoop.
Well, we're not talking about iced. I wasn't talking about iced, though. I know what you're saying.
You said they get extra milk. They actually just fill it up with extra water in the frozen variety.
What?
So it's even worse, in my opinion. But hey, with that being said, I told Schaefer this the other day, and he forgot to mention it. If the Titans don't win, I think that you need to have to drink Poor Boy's coffee for an entire year as punishment. I feel like that's something we can monitor, and that'd be a good little idea for you. So either way, boys, I got to jump off for y'all. Have a good day.
All right. That ain't happening.
Something we can monitor.
That ain't happening. You can't monitor at the house. My nanit is for CG, my daughter, not for me. I'm still making pour over at home, no matter what I'm drinking here.
He says something we can monitor. He just dropped that and just dipped, man.
Come on, man.
That was good. So what have we decided what's going to happen as far as if the Titans don't win the Super Bowl?
No, I mean, we're still waiting for the winner to come through, the one that really works. Buck and Lucas said they wanted in on it, but they haven't actually suggested anything.
Wow.
Maybe Buck's actually going to pop on with us, I think, in the fourth hour. So maybe he'll have something then. Like I said, I'm willing to have fun with it.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think I'm going to pay it off because I think they're going to win. But that's just the way that goes.
That's just the way it goes, Jay. That's freaking phenomenal, man.
You remember what I told you about not being able to sign Foles if you're the Colts?
Mm-hmm.
Reports yesterday.
What was it?
That there's fears that it'll mentally destroy Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. That's what I said.
I've heard other people talking about it. It's like, you know, this is what happened in Philly, right?
That's what I said. Like, I'm not even suggesting if that's true, then you've paid the wrong guy. If he's that fragile, I agree with whoever it was. I can't remember who we had on that said that. But I still think that's the dude that broke him. And it's not like that's going to fix it to bring him in. You could bring almost anybody else in. I think you'd be all right. You bring in Nick Foles.
That's
PTSD.
That's the thing about we talk about that a good bit, man. I almost feel like I'm repeating myself by saying it sometime, but you can't have a guy that's equivalent to your starter at quarterback. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't. We saw it break, like you said, Carson Wentz. We've seen, I've seen, not in a bad way, but just bringing in a guy that they always want to talk about. Heck, when they drafted Mason Rudolph in Pittsburgh, people are quick to say, put Mason in if you have one bad game. Look at what's happening right now in San Francisco. I mean, what Trey Lance has going on with the media that they're putting out about them, and they're supposed to. He's a top 10 pick when it comes down to it. They're supposed to hype him up. But you got Jimmy Garoppolo behind, and I'm sure he's looking or getting text messages from his girlfriend or from his agent or from his mom, dad, somebody's like, don't you worry about it, Jimmy. It's okay. You're the starter. You're the big boy behind the center. Like, there's a lot that goes into it, man. Them bringing in Nick Foles, Jay, you might as well make that man retire. Cash out. Hey, let me get all my coins. I'm gonna go ahead and go to North Dakota again. Like, he's done. You called it. Everybody's been saying the same thing. They can't visit that avenue with him.
No.
Sorry, Zach, but that's the truth.
Todd Apple on the YouTube chat, where you can hang out with the fam there on Zone TV. A lot of conversation going. I'm gonna throw you guys a bone right now, because you're always looking for some random topic to just start talking about on the chat. Skittles or Starburst?
Skittles or Starburst?
You take one or the other. That doesn't mean sweet tarts and all. Skittles or Starburst?
Skittles all day long.
One or the other. Just start getting into it in the chat. But Adam suggested, my punishment if the Titans don't win is I have to wear a T.R. Tart jersey every day for a year.
It means you got to customize it and have it shipped to your crib. for
you,
a year.
If you pay for it, I'll wear it.
Hey, I'm in on that one. That's a good one. That's one of them. That's well, see,
you were going to get a John New jersey, and John New's gone now. He's so you gone. Getting a T.R. Tart jersey now?
I don't want him gone.
You know what it should be? My punishment should be wearing an Isaiah jersey for a year.
Don't act like I won't go and...
Don't dare him to have a good time. Don't,
I promise you I'm all for a good time. Don't promise. Hey, I look you dead in your eyes and say, are you serious right now? NFL.com, shop jersey. Oh, customize this thing right now. Skittles definitely all day long now. If you're asking me.
Sean Henry of the Predators hates Skittles. We've had arguments for years about that.
Red Skittles are life.
Oh, they're so good.
You know who likes them? Marshawn, and that's all that matters.
Marshawn knows.
Marshawn knows. He tells us all.
Pink Starburst, Red Skittles.
Yeah.
The Pink Starburst.
Any Skittles, really, except for the great ones. The great ones, really, I'm not a fan
ones.
Of them.
You like the great
I
ones?
Eat Skittles in
perfect,
order.
That I don't like I them, eat man. All Skittles in order. Yellow, green, orange, purple.
Teresa
red.
Walker does that. Teresa Walker will separate all her Skittles yeah. into what? Colors.
I do the same thing yeah. if I can.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't have that much time. Never looked at it like that. But Jay, Shafe, y'all were here, listeners. When Mariota was having a bad day and you had Ryan Tannehill behind him, what was the crowd? What was the mumbling behind him whenever that was the case? Was it put Tannehill in? Was it like that here?
I'll jump in on that just because I was working on the previous show when all that was going down. Vrabel put Ryan Tannehill in at exactly the right time.
Was okay, so that point, though, were the fans,
yes.
listeners, asking for
at that?
That
they
point,
were after the Denver game.
At that point, yes, the Denver game. Prior to that, the whispers would slowly get louder, but I think, Jay, it was still very pro-Mariota.
It was because of him.
Because of him, because everybody wanted him to succeed.
Yeah.
That guy's got to be awesome.
My issue was I was there at training camp for one session, saw those two guys, and went,
uh-oh.
Yep.
For what reasons were you Carl Lewis-ing?
Because... I went, because you would go there and you saw that Tannehill was better.
Yep. Agreed.
Okay. Now, I feel like we're in a freaking therapy session talking about this, though, but it is because it's kind of what Carson Wentz is going through right now. Do you think hearing that responses from his teammates bothered Marcus in any kind of way?
I don't know if his teammates said that.
Okay.
I remember AJ. Was it AJ? I think it was AJ. A.J. Brown came up to Marcus in Denver
mm-hmm.
crying, sobbing his eyes out, said, I let you down.
Wow.
Because he knew that was probably Marcus being, that was it.
I feel like I need to go back and look at this game.
A.J. Brown was like, I let you down, brother. Like, that's how much respect A.J. had as a rookie for Marcus Mariota, the person.
Okay.
That he apologized to him for not doing more to help him succeed. He took that responsibility on himself
mm-hmm.
and said, Marcus, I'm sorry, brother. I should have done more for you.
Wow.
That's the kind of dude Marcus Mariota was. That's what made it such a conflict here, even for me, because I dogged Mariota in terms of what I thought he was going to be mm-hmm. long-term as a starting quarterback here. I didn't think it was going to last. I didn't think he was the guy. But even I hated it more than I usually would have because my opinion also was dogging a guy that I legitimately had respect for.
Yeah. That's a tough place to be at then.
And that was the thing. It was dogging the performance and not the guy.
Absolutely
not
right.
The guy.
Criticize the performance, not the performer.
But that's always. The job, though, too, is to, you know, we got to critique what it is and what it ain't. The thing is what's going on with Carson Wentz right now and Indy is the simple fact that he's injury prone. He's proven to be that way. And the same guy going through and there's the guy in San Francisco is going through the similar thing. Is Jimmy G. I'm listening last night, actually the Odd Couple, Chris Broussard and I forget the other guy's name.
Rob Parker.
I'm listening to them and they're really reeling off what what Jimmy G's record is. I think he's like 26-4 as a starter or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Their team is like 7-23 without him mm-hmm. if he's not a starter. So it's almost like they're in a big bind when it comes down to saying, hey, we need to go with Trey. Because the thing is, if you sit back and just let Jimmy play, he's probably going to get injured. That's what his history's shown.
It does show that. The other thing is, those backups weren't great. They were okay. But the other thing happened when Garoppolo got hurt,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times, everybody else got hurt. Kittle's been hurt a lot. True. Raheem Mostert missed most of last season. So a lot of times when he was out, half that offense was also out alongside him. So it made it inflate the importance of Garoppolo being out there because it wasn't just him that was mm-hmm. missing. It was half the daggone roster.
One pass ended Jimmy G's career with the 49ers.
Super Bowl third down where he missed Emmanuel
when
Sanders.
He missed Emmanuel Sanders, which would have won them the game.
I don't want to call it a layup, but.
No, because it wasn't a layup, but he missed.
The difference in that Super Bowl, say it over and over again, one team had Patrick Mahomes, the other one had Jimmy Garoppolo. Right. Two third down plays in the fourth quarter. One, the miss to Emmanuel Sanders that, as you said, was pretty close to a layup.
Yeah.
And then third down on the ensuing series after that didn't land the touchdown that it should have.
Mm-hmm.
Third down, left side, Tyreek Hill, dime.
Yep.
Those two plays separated that game and showed why one guy is on the front of Madden twice in 3 years and the other guy ain't ever going to be on the front of Madden.
And then you speed that up to the next year where he tore his ACL first, second game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just been on a wish. So were they right in going to get Trey Lance? It seemed like they were.
Yeah, because Garoppolo, there's a ceiling with Garoppolo where he's just kind of a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not terrible. He's just average. He's also way overpaid because they paid him based on like six games.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt almost immediately. Trey Lance, assuming he's what we're told he is, because we haven't seen enough of it to see it for ourselves, that guy's ceiling is much higher than Jimmy G's is. We know what Jimmy G is. He is a competent to pretty good quarterback.
Yeah. Looking on the zone chat right now, we got Cousin Mike that said from the beginning he wanted Ryan Tannehill from the get-go. He's like, myself, the only reason I thought 8 deserved a chance was y'all the media. Did Mariota get played
not,
up?
That's not fair.
That's not fair to say?
No. Okay. And I love Cuzzo, but that's not fair. Nope. Don't agree with that.
No. The city loved Marcus. The team, I mean, it was very much, and we're seeing, I had a listener just send me a tweet with Terrell Owens, and then that's my quarterback gift. That's the way Titans fans felt clutching to Mariota. Never have I said anything more unpopular since I've been here than the stuff I said about Mariota.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just trying to speak. I was trying to take the heart side out of it and just speak from what I was observing. And then I would always caveat it and say, I hope I'm wrong, because I would love for this dude to be the guy, because you couldn't have a better dude to be the guy. Didn't matter, man. Like, the whole deal was, you love him to death.
Right.
Man, my best friend in the world, I don't know that I'm hiring him to run my multi-billion-dollar organization.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Jobs might have been a complete jerk. Steve Jobs is why Apple ended up doing what Apple did.
Okay.
Whether or not he stole ideas from people or ran Wozniak out of the building or was a tyrant or all the stuff that he did overseas and everything else.
It's the end product.
Eventually, when it comes down to business, it's about wins and losses, profit and loss, P&L statements, all of that kind of thing. Mariota, his P&L wasn't good. It just turned out not to be very good. His efficiency, and watching him take all those sacks in that Ravens game the year they lost 3 in a row after they were on fire, they lost to Buffalo in a horrible loss.
Yeah.
They come back to Nashville and get blitzed by the Ravens here. 9 sacks in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then went overseas and lost to the Chargers with the bad call at the end of the game. And that was a game where Derrick Henry awoke afterwards after having a conversation with Eddie George.
The Lions are ringing up right
they
now.
They are indeed. So let's roll through them. Let's go to Uncle Bob in Columbia. Bob, before you start talking, I know you want to talk about the Tennessee quarterback situation, which is fine. I did see The Godfather, in case you missed me mention that a week or two ago.
Nice.
Oh, hey, cool. Well, I don't ask you. Enjoyed it a lot. It was a classic.
It was.
Some of the scenes are pretty rough.
Mm-hmm.
It came out, what, in 1974? It was a rough thing when it came out. But anyway, I want to talk about the practice yesterday. And I looked on the Knoxville newspaper reading up. We have 7 quarterbacks up there. 3 people I've never heard of. There's a redshirt freshman, a redshirt sophomore, and some guy named Sully. And I don't know, but and then this they got a running back that looks like a slim Derrick Henry. He's like 6'4", 5". But this quarterback, this guy from Michigan, 6'4", 244. I'm going to go out on a limb with you, Jason, back to you on the Titans in the Super Bowl, and I'll go out a limb here. Make a prediction. We're going to surprise some people, and they did good in that portal thing. I'm going to go out and say we'll at least win 6 games and go to a small bowl.
Okay.
And from the last 3 years, man, I'll take that.
Okay.
All right.
Sniped.
Sorry, Bob.
Semi-sniped.
It felt like the call was.
It felt right.
Felt like he was tying that one up.
It felt right.
Felt right.
That's why it's not a
friendly apologize.
I won't. Fire? I will not demerit him.
Friendly fire.
It was premature sniping nation.
I apologize.
Water balloon fight, and they got hit in the back of the head because they were in the doorway.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
It's when you get your finger stuck in the car door.
Yep.
Yeah.
Water balloon.
I apologize.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to do that to Bob.
No, you're good. I mean,
bad call or anything.
No. That was just a speeding ticket.
Oh, yeah.
That's all right.
Yep.
No worries.
Pay the fine, and we'll move forward.
Unless it's a parking ticket, Ramon still hasn't paid.
Shh.
You still haven't paid that?
It shows 0.
Still, you're going to jail, man.
Dude, you are so going to jail.
All right, so I want to do this real quick. Then we'll get to, I see a ton of calls. Well, actually, we got to get to break. I didn't realize what time it was. We're rolling through this show. Ali, Caples, Josh, Cuzzo Mike, all of you, hang on the line. We're going to start running through those calls when we come back. I didn't realize what time it was.
Having fun.
Time flies when you're having fun. And even when Schaefer's around. So we'll get to the phone calls on the other side. Jay Martin, Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. It's Jay Mart. The year's best diamond buying opportunity is coming. Almost here. Starting this Saturday at my jewelry store, Genesis Diamonds. For a limited time, all GIA certified diamonds marked down an extra 20%. Yes, 20% below Genesis' already guaranteed best price on the most beautiful and rare GIA. Jay Mart, 104.5 The Zone. D-Lee tweets us. Only young Titans fans like to eat. Older fans have seen better quarterbacking in this town. We're not fooled by Marcus's lack of skills. I respectfully disagree.
That's not fair.
Not that you didn't see better quarterbacking, but that only kids like Marcus. That's just flat wrong.
That got personal.
This town was fully in love with Marcus
Mariota. They were.
Everybody. And that's fine.
Ballin' Ali. What's going on, my friend?
What's up, fellas? How are y'all?
What's up,
good, man. How are you?
All right. So I got a weird story about this, the whole Mariota Tannehill transition. So that season, we took the trip up to Cleveland and saw Mariota just go off 4 TDs. But after looking back at it, he missed a couple of TDs here and there. But when it came to the Denver game and he got benched, my brother and my dad were like so upset. Like, when I tell you these guys haven't missed a game at Nissan Stadium, they ended up 3 games to not show up in protest of Mariota getting benched. So that when you just made that comment when somebody said that the little kids were in love with Mariota, my dad, a 58-year-old man, was all invested in Marcus. And it just sucked. He was such a great guy that it didn't work out here. But then we saw Tannehill, like, oh, this guy's the real deal. And everybody jumped on board.
That's a good story. Yeah. Two, it backs up the point that it wasn't just kids. The Mariota thing was tough because you like Mariota, but you also were like, we need to move on.
Yeah.
And so that's always hard when you want to show that guy love, but at the same time, it's a business. If you want to see what kind of dude he was, go back and watch the video of what Mariota said when he was benched to Tannehill, caught on, you know, NFL Films audio, what he was saying to him on the sidelines. That's the kind of dude you had in Marcus. Capels is next on the line. What's going on, Mr. Capels?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing? Capels?
Good, man.
I think the narrative is everybody wanted Marcus to succeed. But I remember that season, like, Mariota was coming off of the nerve damage injury, and he was perceived to be healthy going into that season, and we picked up Tannehill, and I'm in a Titans group chat. So all of us was like, all right, Tannehill is the backup. He's just here just in case Marcus get hurt, so we wouldn't have the same situation that we had when Marcus got hurt and Blaine Gabbert had to play in that Colts game, and we didn't have a shot because it was Blaine Gabbert. So at the beginning of the season, I think everybody was Mariota. But if y'all remember that Jacksonville game, I think he got sacked like, what, 10, 12 times that game?
Baltimore game.
And a lot of people was blaming it on the O-line. But if you went back and watched that game, Marcus was like hesitant to pull the trigger. It make you think of like Sam Darnold. Maybe he was seeing ghosts or something. But he was like starting to be hesitant to pull the trigger. And in Denver, he played terrible, and he got benched. And I don't know who said it, but they said, like, it was at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have thought that maybe he just got benched for that game. But when Tannehill got in, you just saw the difference. The zip on his passes. Tannehill's able to put the ball in the tight spots. It's just he was the better quarterback. But everybody loved Marcus. And just like the previous caller said, folks was mad that he got benched. But it was like, bro, it's time. He's been here 5 years. It's up and down. It's not consistent. And now we got a quarterback that can sling the pill. You know, we haven't had that since Steve McNair. So, you know, everybody loved Marcus, but his time just was up, you know. So, and they gave him a chance. So it ain't like, you know, he got benched for no reason. It was just his time was up. And, you know, we wish him well and everything else, but Tannehill's the guy, and he proved it. And that's all I got to say. Love you guys. I'll let you later.
Appreciate it, man. Always. Yeah. I agree 1,000,000% with that. And I knew when he left that game in Denver, it was a wrap. You just knew. It's just like, that's it, man.
That was wild.
That is it.
What's wild to me is hearing him say we hadn't had a quarterback since McNair.
Like that, yeah.
That's a stretch,
man. You did with VY.
Yeah, VY for a short time.
A year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then TGI Fridays knocked that out.
Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake.
Cheesecake Factory.
Jake Locker just couldn't stay healthy.
And again, another great dude.
Another really good dude.
Great dude.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just wasn't a guy. Josh Cuzzo, Mike, I don't want to cut you guys too short. We got to get to break. After the headlines, we'll get your thoughts on the Mariota deal. Again, this gets people talking. Whenever you talk about Marcus in this town, people will defend him, but they're also now saying, yeah, but.
Yeah, but.
That's the case. More after the headlines. Halfway home, we got James Lofton of Westwood One set to join us in the second segment next hour. It's getting busy and fun here on J. Martin Ramon on a Thursday on 104.5 The Zone.